Afternoon, everybody. One of my goals this morning is... So one of my goals this afternoon is to not refer to it as the morning. All afternoon. I think we'll start to talk about habit after mindset. But it is good. It is good to be with the saints here this afternoon. It's a blessing to me. Really good, encouraging stuff from Sunday school this afternoon from Brother Andy. Really appreciate the thoughts brought forth there and Acts and a lot of the comments that were made and shared. And just really, really good stuff. Appreciated Dale's thoughts around the table there. You know, the right thing and the easy thing don't typically coincide. You got a choice. Yeah. And so we want to be the type of people that are finding and going after the right thing, no matter what the convenience cost associated with that is. And so this afternoon, I wanted to continue on with mindset and talking about mindset a little bit. Last week, we discussed how mindset is critical to our success as Christians. We discussed how the mindset on the Spirit is life and is peace. And we began to discuss the question of what qualities are we really looking for? What does it mean to have our mind set on life and peace? What are these qualities that we are looking to observe? Are we looking to have our minds actually dwell on the things of the Spirit, things that are peaceful, things that are full of joy, things that are full of love? Is that where our mind is actually spending its time? And what might that look like on a practical scale? It's easy to spend a lot of time in theoretical land, but we want to have things where is my mind actually spending its time? What possesses my thoughts? We want to ask those questions because mindset is absolutely critical, as we pointed out. Let's return to Romans chapter 8. It's the text that we worked out of primarily last week. We'd like to return there this week. Romans chapter 8, and we'll make our way to 1 through 4, but this afternoon I want to look at 5 through 8 in particular. Romans 8, verse 5. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile towards God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So the mindset propels people to success. We talked about the different areas that people see success. We mentioned some of the athletic feats. And there are all sorts of different examples that you can use that mindset is critical to propelling an individual to be successful. Or conversely, mindset can take an individual who is maybe more talented and produce worse results, right? You can see that in the world of sales, right? Mindset matter in sales? You better believe it, right? Where your mind is at, people pick up on real quick. So it's important that our mind is set on the things above. Mindset has everything to do with how we view challenges. Are challenges opportunities for growth, or are challenges judgment? Is it a question of my worth or my value is getting judged based upon this challenge? Or is it this is an opportunity to learn something? Our mindset determines the way that we approach things that are difficult. there's a lot of things that I've seen people do, okay, that they were dubious that they could do. But what changed was their mind, right? They were willing to look at it from a perspective that I'm going to set my mind to do this thing, and I'm going to do it. And they accomplished all sorts of things in a lot less time. What do they say? If you actually write down your goals, right? You can take a 7-year goal, and usually on average it's something like 3 years or something like that. If you write it down, and then it's about 3 times as long. If you just, it's out there, it's a goal, something that I talk about, but I don't ever put pen to paper. Or I guess, Dale, we'd be typing it out, right? So we wouldn't put pen to paper. Voice to text. There we go. Okay, I can tell Siri, set this as my goal. Okay, perfect. So just spend time like that. So thinking the thoughts of the Spirit helps to put our mind in the Spirit. We use the example of like a peaceful picnic in the park. Or one of the things I've picked up lately to kind of give myself a little bit of transition time, I've been spending time instead of going home. One of the things I've noticed about myself personally is that I work at a place called Riley Tractor Parts, and so I'm inventory management, which means I can use more than both hands to count things, so that's what they have me do. And so I count tractor parts, and I find tractor parts, and that's kind of what I do. Well, one of the things that I noticed is that if I go home, right, my ability to be able to work on the things that I am supposed to be working on diminishes, right? So what I've noticed is, okay, I usually have, you know, some Bible studies and that sort of thing. So I get my Bible studies knocked out for the night, and we meet together. And then one of the things I like to do is I like to take a walk. There's a park that is nearby, the building there in Wauseon. And so I like to take a walk. You know, it gives me a chance to kind of clear my head, you know, get the opportunity to, hey, work for me is gone. I get off at 4:01, work is done. Okay, I can make that separation. You know, that's why I'm an employee, right? And hey, work is over at 4:01. It's their problem. Okay, so I can make that switch. But then I got Bible studies, right? I'm personally and emotionally invested in those Bible studies. Those really matter to me, right? And so we get the Bible studies knocked out, and somebody's, you know, it's discipleship, right? Somebody's always texting, somebody's always needing something. Hey, that's 100% awesome. Okay. But when I go home, I need to give my mind a little bit of a transition, right? Because otherwise, hey, I'm all sorts of everywhere. Brenna doesn't need me to be all sorts of everywhere, right? And my mindset is, hey, I'm going to go home, and it's about 9:30, so we'll have dinner, because that's what time we normally have dinner. And we'll, you know, we'll be able to see each other for about an hour before bed. It's great. Okay, so, but I got to change my mind, or else I don't take advantage of that time that we have together. Now, I can go through all the motions without taking that walk in the park or whatever to be peaceful. I can go through those motions, but the marshal that Brenna gets isn't as good as the marshal who takes a walk, changes, resets his mind. Why? Well, one of the things I get to do is to set my mind on the things of the Spirit, peaceful things, right? I need to go through the things of the Spirit. It really does matter. As Christians, we want to have a mindset that is ultimately pleasing to the Lord. We're going to go here in just a second to Ephesians chapter 5. You can go ahead and turn over there now. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5 and verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. So if we have a mind set on the Spirit, one of the things that we're going to be doing is trying to learn what is pleasing to our God, what is pleasing to the Lord. Now, the sense of smell, scent, is a very powerful thing. Right? Brenna has these scent portables. Has anybody ever heard of it? And she puts them in her car. And so she'll put them on the passenger. It's a little clip thing. She has a scent portable in her car. Well, I went in her car one day, and I was really concerned that something may have died. because it was this, I think a lot of people enjoy the scent. Obviously, Brenna enjoyed it because nothing had died. It was lavender vanilla or something like that. I thought I was going to be sick, but I made it through. But I said, "Hun, is there any way that we could get a different scent to be replaced here for the..." Well, and because she is a loving wife, she said, "Sure, as long as that one runs out, I'll put a different one in." Okay, that's acceptable to me. It is your car. Okay, so the one she has now is like just vanilla, and it's much more pleasing. But scent can be powerful, right? And because she does care, she didn't continue to get the lavender, which I'm very thankful for. But scent can be strong, and she is desirous of pleasing me, right? And so she gets the vanilla scent. And in the same way, I try to be pleasing to my spouse because I care about her, right? So, okay. I was talking to Reuben a little bit earlier. I love audiobooks. I absolutely love audiobooks. I spend all day at said tractor parts store listening to audiobooks, podcasts, and sermons. It's what I do. You know, I have that freedom at work. It's really nice. I can kind of look at those sort of things and spend my time doing that. Brenna does not enjoy audiobooks or podcasts. She enjoys music, okay? And so we have a system worked out where, you know, the driver gets to choose what they play. And because, you know, we do quite a number of long road trips, right? And so I don't blast some audiobook that she is not going to be interested in over the course of our long road trip, right? And she doesn't drown me out with music. So it actually ends up working pretty good. We come to a compromise and we talk to one another. Imagine that. That's really novel, right? But we do that because we're trying to be considerate, right? Trying to be pleasing to our spouse. But there's some realism that comes along with that when we're trying to be pleasing to another person, to our spouse, to our boss, to whoever it is that we're trying to be pleasing to. There's some give and take. One of the things that we also really enjoy doing is a lot of times we'll have kids over for the weekend, right? So some of the older teenagers, that sort of thing, we work things out, we have kids over. They come for Friday night fellowship. It's a good time. And so we do that, and I also like to have a clean house. But I have a choice at that point, okay? I don't get to choose to have a clean house and to have multiple teenagers over. Those two things don't seem to go together very well, okay? And so it is unrealistic for me to ask, "Hey, let's make sure that everything gets cleaned up," like that's somehow just her responsibility. Come on. And then also, is it okay if we have the kids over this weekend? It's not realistic, right? So I need to choose what is it that's going to be most pleasing, right? And we're both kind of like, forget the house anyway, right? The mess will clean up, right? So in the same way, we have a choice about how we are going to be pleasing to the Lord. See, I know that if I blast my podcast or my audiobook or whatever during the road trip, you know, she's not going to be like on the OhioGov website looking for certificates of divorce, right? That's not what's going to be going on. She's not like, hey, I'm looking at the court hours for Monday and looking this thing up, right? That's not the consequence, right? I might be a little bit annoyed or whatever, but she's not going to be in a place where, hey, it is what it is. So I'm not being motivated from a place of fear that, you know, she's going to kick me out of the bedroom or she's going to, not pack my lunch in the morning because she's good. I'm telling you. I'm not afraid of that, right? Concerned about, I want to be pleasing to her. She's interested in being pleasing to me. Well, our goal as Christians is trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. And as Christians, we operate under the law of liberty. So we can ask this question and be able to accept what the answer is. Let's go to James chapter 2 real quickly. James chapter 2, starting in verse 12. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment will be merciless to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. We operate under the law of liberty. We don't operate under the Old Testament law of did you break it or did you not break it? Even the possibility of being able to break it and not know it, right? It's not the covenant which we live under. We live under a covenant where our ground rules with Jesus come from a place of love. They come from a place of freedom. They come from a place of liberty. Is it edifying? It's one of the major questions, right? All things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful, but not all things edify, right? And so we operate under a system, under a covenant of liberty. Well, that gives us an immense amount of freedom for us to learn what is pleasing to the Lord from me. Right? Now, me and Reuben are taking a road trip. Okay? Creature from Jekyll Island, maybe, right? Hey, we can listen to that for quite a number of hours on end, right? See if Ron Paul has a new book out. He mentioned him during Sunday school. Hey, I'd be okay listening to that. But that isn't going to be pleasing to Brenna. Right? Not so much. Sorry, I'll pass, right? Put up the music. Well, in the same way, we get to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. And everything has an opportunity cost. We only have 24 hours in a day. We only have 7 days in a week, right? And so there are a lot of good and nice things, Christ-like things even, that I can do in a day. A lot of positive things that I can do. And they should be done. But my time's limited. Your time's limited, right? And so as an individual Christian, one of the things that I have to ask myself is, what is going to be pleasing to the Lord from me today? It's not a question of what do I have to do, right? I make sure that I can be pleasing to the Lord because I really don't want God to divorce me. I mean, that's preposterous when I say it about Brenna, right? That's crazy. But how many Christians operate from a place where I don't want God to be mad at me? or I'm afraid that he's going to write me off. See, if our motivation is, I don't want God to be mad at me, or I don't want God to write me off, we don't ever get to the question of what's actually going to be pleasing to the Lord. What's going to make him happy, right? I cannot listen to podcasts for an entire trip, and it still doesn't get me the brownie points that bringing home a few roses will get me, right? That gets me quite a number of brownie points where we can listen to quite a number of audiobooks when I bring the roses in the house, right? All right, we're happy there, right? Hey, special dinner next week maybe. Hey, why? Because I'm trying to do something that would be pleasing to her. I'm even better if I get her an iTunes gift card. Man, connect those things a little bit. But that's a totally different thought process than I don't want her to be mad at me. I don't want her to divorce me. See, as Christians, we're limited, okay, when we start having old covenant thought and a new covenant system. And our mindset is important. See, Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, there is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That eliminates the does God still want to stay married to me question. Okay? That eliminates that question. Now, I know my audience here. Everybody here knows that I'm not preaching a once saved, always saved doctrine. Okay? I'll say that for the record in case anybody's listening. I know these get recorded. Not preaching that. Okay? But I am preaching to new creation people who are trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord and have relationship with Him and trying to learn what is pleasing as opposed to what do I have to do? What's my minimum requirement, right? How do I make sure that that audiobook is turned up to maybe level 2 or 3? I just don't want to annoy the Lord too much. Okay. So we get to ask a completely different question. Let me bring out hopefully a scriptural example that really I hope resonates with you. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. This is one of those passages, you know, going through the ACE school system growing up. I'm almost positive this is one of the memory verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 5. We're destroying speculation and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. We are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Taking every thought captive. Now, I used to consider this passage in the following manner. I need to work really hard at keeping the bad thoughts out. When my mind flashes to negative things, I need to work really hard at keeping the thoughts out, avoid temptation, and try to think holy, biblical thoughts. Okay. You know what happens when you try that? Okay. Those thoughts become more and more entrenched. It gets driven deeper. Okay. Because your mind is, oh, I want to avoid that, right? I think the example that Mr. Harbor uses that he stole from Mr. Wilson is don't think about pink elephants, right? Everybody in the room is now like thinking about the preposterous scenario of a pink elephant. Or somebody, I use that at fellowship sometimes, like, no, I was thinking of a purple elephant. Like, whatever. You're thinking of an elephant. Okay, and so those thoughts become even more entrenched. But I realized that the right way to take every thought captive under the law of liberty was to allow the things of the Spirit to pervade my mind. See, instead of thinking about clutching strongly and deeply on the holy thoughts, I switched my mind to be able to decide, what am I going to choose to allow my mind to dwell on? Now, those might sound really similar, but in practice, it's the difference between life and death. Because your mind basically shrivels up. Okay? I want to think the good thoughts. You're going to die. Right? But if you approach taking every thought captive, if you approach that with the mindset of, I am going to choose which of these, I don't know, they say you get like 10,000 thoughts a minute or something like that. Okay, I have these 10,000 thoughts a minute. I am going to choose where I'm going to spend the majority of my time, and I am going to ignore and dismiss the 100 out of those 10,000 thoughts that I don't really want there. If I spend mental energy on those 100 out of those 10,000, okay, your mind goes back there. That's where your mind ends up getting set. And so you end up getting the exact opposite result of what you are actually desirous of. Taking every thought captive can be about thinking about how lovely it is when all of those kids get together, when I get to have that peaceful walk in the park, when I get to spend time on those road trips with Brenna. I let my mind dwell on the fact that everything is spiritual and God has natural laws and effect. Those are good, real, positive things to think about and let your mind dwell on. So whether we are talking the area of business, whether we're talking the area of politics, whether we're talking even athletics, truth is truth. Is it okay to let your mind dwell on those things? Absolutely. Truth is truth. And I can think of other things then to also fulfill Philippians chapter 4. Let's go ahead and go there. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Right? I know that this was a pace memory verse. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. So that's why we make practical application. Because it's one thing to say, hey, I want my mind to go on things that are pure. But when you think of purity, do you have an image associated with that you can spend time thinking about already ready to go? Have you spent the time preparing to think the things that are pure, honorable, good? Have you spent the time beforehand making the preparation? And a lot of times, you know, I want to think the things that are pure. My mind automatically goes to something that's white, right? Completely clean, white, pure. Okay. For some reason, my mind goes to, like, doves. Pure. I have no idea why. If it's like, you know, the little kid Marshall who was like, you know, the Holy Spirit descended as a dove, purity. I don't have any clue. But that's where my mind goes. Well, you're not going to spend a lot of time thinking about those things. But if you have an image of purity that is pre-programmed into your mind, that you can actually go to that place when your mind needs to be thinking pure thoughts, there's a big and fundamental difference there than, you know, the mind going into, you know, shriveled mode. We don't want that, right? That isn't helpful. Okay, and so all of this then comes back to mindset, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord and how we can actually do that. And when we explore this, there really is an abundant life, because it's not a question of how God's feeling about me. It is a question of how can I be pleasing to Him, and how can I explore what the best use of my time, energy, money, okay? I'm forgetting the P in tempo. People and organization is, right? What's the best use? Well, when we're trying to learn of what is pleasing to the Lord, okay, we can ask those questions on an individual basis. And we don't have to feel the have to of the law. Right? God's grace allows us to figure out where we can best serve him with a full heart, not under compulsion. What might that look like? That's something that I hope that we'll all come away from here this afternoon. asking that question. What does that look like in my life individually? In my daily life? In my service to the Lord? What does that really look like? Because God's the one who gave us our talents and our abilities. He knows our strengths. He knows our weaknesses. And we can be honest with him and really have fun as we try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. It's not tiresome. It's going to be fun. But how can I, you know, God made me special, unique. What can I bring to his kingdom that maybe it hasn't been tried that way before? Where am I uniquely fit so as to reach somebody who is unreachable to everybody else? We can ask ourselves these questions, honestly, because it's all about growth. The new creation really does have unlimited potential because we are indwelled by God Most High. And there is freedom in determining how Christ in a Marshall suit relates to the rest of the world. How Christ in a Davy suit relates to the rest of the world and as effective as Davy can possibly be. You put your name there, right? What does Christ in a Rachel suit actually look like? We all get to make that determination. And we get to do it and have some fun at it. It's fun. And I try to learn what's pleasing to the Lord. Hey, you know, I have a little extra pep in my step when I got the roses in hand, you know? All right. Okay, maybe if I was able to afford a little iTunes gift card in there. Hey, all right. Oh, why? That won't be pleasing. Right? I bet she was even okay with changing out the lavender scent. You know? Why? Because we want to be pleasing. We have the freedom in Christ, not the strain of the law, but the freedom in Christ to really try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Galatians chapter 5, in closing. Galatians 5, verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care lest you be consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Guys, there's no condemnation. We can look up. We can set our mind on the things of the Spirit. It is all green lights for us to see what is going to be pleasing to our Lord. Let's go after it. Let's have some fun while we do it. Joe?
Yeah.